That's so Braven. If you don't listen to this podcast, do you know what happens? You get it. Okay. I feel good about that.
Luke Harper's voice isn't intimidating at all.
Scoop-a-derp-derp.
I fucking
kind
love
of a dude.
Scoop-a-derp.
Yeah, but he's not intimidating. That's all.
Should we start the podcast or something?
Yeah, let's start it.
All right.
Did it start?
Is this how it starts? It starts like it ends. We just start talking.
Is it fucking going right now?
Yeah,
all right.
Oh,
that's so Braven.
Now you assholes learn to grab the mic. Now. You guys are like, oh, I'll get all up on the mic now.
Grab it like your father's dick.
Shit's wrong with you, dude.
Wow. Well, welcome
to
Ben's
podcast.
That's the host
of That's So Braven, Ben Raven. I'm Drew. That's John.
Hello.
Buckleberry Hound, you want to do a podcast or you want to just say inappropriate shit?
Let's
little
just say inappropriate
man,
shit. 45 minutes.
All right, listen. Since normally this podcast is just Ben rambling.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Drunk as shit in his bedroom. let's try a little actual direction tonight. Survivor Series, biggest card of the year is coming up on Sunday.
Yeah.
And before that is War Games Houston.
That's going to be pretty
that's
lit.
That's going to be sweet too. Yeah, double freaking rings. Yeah.
And Gargano versus Dunn for the UK championship,
for
low
some
key.
For some fucking reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes zero sense.
In a Gargano Shawn Michaels ab contest.
What?
There's an ab contest between Johnny and Shawn Michaels.
An ab off?
Yeah.
That's the dumbest shit.
Right.
I don't know the story behind that one. I've had a hard time keeping up with NXT. I don't know if that was.
Next. No.
Yeah, next. Get it? Yeah. Survivor Series. Man. It has been a hell of 2 weeks of professional wrestling on television. You got women's title changes. You got tag team title changes. You got Siege 2.0.
It feels like a freaking Seagal movie over here.
Seriously, there is shit, yeah. Under Siege 2, Under Siege 3, Triple H, Pedigree, and guys' sons in front of them.
Is it weird that they're trying to make Jason Jordan a babyface when he's yoked like a motherfucker?
No,
like,
I don't understand what
so
they're doing.
So big,
with him,
like.
Listen, this is that old, and I don't know if it's an old saying or if it's something I've just heard. There's too many fucking heroes.
Yeah.
There's too many heroes. Everybody wants to be the fucking good guy. Nobody wants to be Seth Rollins. Dude, go heal for a while, and you can come back.
Yeah, look at Seth now.
Look at Seth now. Look at Kurt fucking Angle.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I really like the Miz Baron Corbin match, because it's two assholes that nobody likes.
So,
but
are we gonna just as a consensus, are we skipping over the cruiserweight pre-show bullshit that's happening at Survivor Series? We're not talking about it. No,
Enzo wins game over. Blah blah.
Enzo
blah.
Wins. He hangs on to it. Eventually, Gulak turns on him. They give it to Gulak, who's actually fucking enjoyable on the mic.
Enjoyable as hell.
S-O-F-T.
I admittedly gave up on 205 Live. I don't give a shit. It was before Enzo did it. It was kind of after Aries left and Neville started fading away and stuff, you know.
Neville!
The only thing good about 205 Live is that they got me on camera.
Okay.
Dancing, right? Yeah.
Let's start very quickly and go through the NXT War Games.
Yeah.
Because I'm obsessed with the War Games match.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Undisputed Era, dumbest name ever, who are massively undersized to be involved in this. So you got to think you're going to see some dirty shit from Adam Cole, baby.
Have you ever watched a War Games match? Have you gone back on the network watched one?
Oh, yeah. I went and found them. God. They're chaos.
Oh, yeah.
They're beautiful, delightful chaos. And with the Authors of Pain, for some reason, teamed with one of my favorites, Roderick Strong.
It's so weird.
It's so weird and so beautiful. And maybe it's because, and Ben, agree or disagree, Roddy's terrible on the mic.
Oh, he can't talk.
Can't talk. So put him in that fold. Give him some fucking body armor and make him part of the Authors of Pain.
He's a hell of a worker that should be NXT's top star for the next year.
Like Occam, Razor, and Strong.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, it works. Uh-huh. That trio works.
That's so fun. That's fun. But those, I highly suggest people go back, watch some War Games, WCW matches. Two of those year back-to-back, I think it was, were five-star matches. I mean, you got Young Stone Cold, you got Ric Flair, you got everyone you can think of has been a part of those matches. They're fun. Go back. Two rings. Big cage. I'm really curious to see how they set it up. modern style, because this is not a WWE match. This was created by Dusty Rhodes in the early 90s in WCW.
Yep, and they own it, so they're doing it. And the man now only known as Cody has said he's okay with it.
Yeah.
You know, on Twitter, and then on, of course, the Be the Elite YouTube series, he's been a total bitch about it. So, which is kind of his character, and he plays it incredibly well.
Yeah.
So the War Games match, I don't think anyone's going to be able to predict what happens. I'm going to take Sanity because they're pushing him really hard. I'll take Sanity for the win, but I don't know that. I'm not confident in that because I feel like they want to do something with Strong and the Authors of Pain. Because those guys are not ready to go up yet. They're not ready to go up yet.
No.
They need work. They disappeared forever for whatever fucking reason, probably to get work so they don't kill people since they're twice the size of normal humans.
You guys are young, too. Don't rush it. Don't force it. Find a spot. I mean, shit. Raw is trying to figure out what to do with the Revival when they come back. So don't just throw teams on top of teams on top of teams. Because have you seen the Hardys on Raw a lot recently?
Well, no, because without Jeff, they're like, what the fuck do we do with Matt?
Oh, yeah, I kind of forgot about that. Yeah.
I mean, they were pushing him for a minute, but...
Matt was the guy who set up the Shield attacking Strowman.
That's right.
They've been trying to use Matt where they can, but I think they're trying to build up to broken Matt Hardy, and without Jeff, it doesn't make a ton of sense.
Yeah, moral of the story, don't rush the Authors of Pain up.
Don't rush any of these guys up. I won't lie to you, I could give two shits about the championship match.
I think it's going to be a great match.
I think it's going to be a great match, but I think McIntyre holds the belt.
Yeah, he holds the belt.
There's no way you're going to put the strap on Cien Almas.
Not yet, no.
Look, do this match for a couple of takeovers. Let these guys feud. Stop doing these one-and-dones with McIntyre.
Cien's a hell of a worker. That's going to be fun.
But I think Cien, you can move him to something else. Aleister Black Velveteen Dream? Is that on this card, or did that already happen?
That's happening.
That's fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Black's going to crush him. It's not even going to be close.
He's going to kick his head off.
They're pushing that guy super hard.
Women's four-way.
That women's four-way is the other thing I'm super fucking into for War Games. And John, you the other night when we were watching, you're like, it's Ember, right? It's this Ember chick. I think it's Kairi Sane.
I'm in on Peyton Royce.
I see. I'm almost with Peyton, though. But I think I'm almost with him, though, for sure, because she's been getting pushed everywhere.
She has gotten better every single time I've watched her wrestle. So, and that's nothing against Nikki Cross or Ember or Sane, but Peyton Royce with Billy Ray, the iconic duo.
I mean, the iconic duo, they're the best mic workers in the match. Ember's gotten better, but she's not good yet.
Peyton's got that Asuka kind of swagger where she can look at a crowd.
See, and I think Kyrie's got that, and it's not the Japanese superstar connection. Mm. Tell me a better women's, and I love Ember's finishing move, but the insane elbow, the height she gets on that.
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. That's going to be a hell of a match. I hope they give that time because all four of those women can work, and work.
Yeah, I hope that's a 30 to 40 minute match. All right, so there's War Games.
Dunn and Gargano to open the show.
Dunn and Gargano I'm not going to lie. Look, you know I love Johnny Wrestling almost as much as you do.
Yep.
And Pete Dunn, and if you want to check out the Court of Nerds podcast this week, we talked to Steve Orlando about his love of Pete Dunn. He's a DC Comics writer. I love both of these guys. This match makes literally zero sense. Gargano's not in the UK. Why is it for the UK belt?
They need to outline some fucking rules on how to use these UK roster guys, how to use the belt. Make it an NXT defended championship if you're going to... I actually don't know the solution to this. I'm really confused.
Okay, that's fine. I think all three of us are in agreement that NXT needs a mid-card belt. They need some kind of intercontinental championship. Call it the black and yellow belt. Call it whatever the fuck you want to call it. But you need a belt so that guys like Gargano and guys like Dunn and guys like Bate and guys like... Fuck, Aleister Black.
TNA's X Division Championship.
Yeah, something. Anything. Do something besides just having them compete in these meaningless matches with stupid, pointless rivalries that go nowhere.
Yep.
You need to put a belt on Adam Cole in the next 3 months or you're wasting your fucking time.
Yeah.
This guy came in as the hottest thing in the world and you're going to burn him? Dude.
No, I think they win that main event.
I thought Cole should have debuted on the main roster.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people had an issue with that, too, but undersized Ring of Honor guy, and I think it was kind of the thinking, you know, if we made Sammy and KO do it, we better make him do it, too.
You're right. Undersized Ring of Honor guys, they never work out.
They never work out.
Fucking shit. All right. Let's move on to Survivor Series. We're going to ignore the kickoff show because there's nothing of note on it.
No.
Do we have a rundown? Do we have an order of events yet or no?
No,
I don't know if it's order of events, but I can go from bottom to top.
Yeah, do you want to be the setup man, John?
Well, sure. If we're skipping the cruiserweight, we go right into the women's elimination match.
All right, women's 5-on-5 elimination match, which has a good chance to start the show, let's be honest.
And go 30, 40 minutes.
Yep, but it lost a lot of the appeal when it lost Charlotte Flair. I'll be honest with you.
Did they announce who's replacing her?
No, it's a mystery, which leads me to believe it's Paige.
Oh, fuck. Oh.
Hmm. But yeah, it could be Natty, though, right?
Could easily be Natty, but if it's Natty, they just announced that it's Natty.
It's exciting if it's Paige, because she has not wrestled in a very long time, and Paige is very underrated as a wrestler right now.
I mean,
people
Paige,
forgot.
Who else could it possibly be?
Was she drafted by SmackDown? Or is she a free agent?
I can't remember the last time they on-air mentioned Paige since the whole quick on the belt thing.
Yeah.
Ooh, tugs at collar. Yeah. But the 5-on-5 women's match, I want to see Sasha turn on Bayley officially, set up a feud there, and I want to see Asuka
or
kick
Bayley turn on
off.
Sasha. I'll take either one.
I'll take either one. Something needs to happen with that. I'm sick of the cute little friendship thing that amounts to nothing besides Sasha going over and Bayley shrugging her shoulders and frowning,
having a nice butt.
Yes.
All right. Who's the sole survivor and who wins it?
If Asuka's not the sole survivor, I'll be pretty upset.
I mean, are we all Asuka on this? John?
I mean, just size-wise, I want to pick Nia Jax.
She's the obvious answer. And I feel like WWE has tried to veer away from going with the obvious answer.
Yeah.
But maybe part of the reason she came back is they were like, look, we'll let you be the sole survivor and we'll give you the push you deserve. But she's also still not a great in-ring worker.
No, and she's had some weird news come out about her in the last month, too. Like, she went home after a taping and The Rock told her to stay home if she wasn't happy and stuff like that, so... I see her getting eliminated early. I think they punish that type of shit.
She came back real quick too, though.
Yeah, she did.
I mean, I see whoever the mystery person is taking out Nia and doing it fast. But it should be Asuka, I think, standing at the end, and it should be Asuka pinning Carmella or pinning Becky. You know, you've got to have her pin one of the big names on that SmackDown roster.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as maybe Naomi's the bigger name,
yeah.
The other one I love, and this is my dark horse, because I think it's the Raw roster that wins.
Yeah, I do too.
And I think Becky blames Charlotte, and we get a Charlotte-Becky thing for the championship. Becky goes, you left my team! Blah, 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 blah. Irish shit. My dark horse is batshit crazy Alicia Fox, who I'm in love with.
Right?
Right? I know, I'm a fan of that too.
That hat is fantastic.
Her hat is great. Her persona, whatever this is,
she low-key started developing this persona on 205 Live when she was in Cedric Alexander in the Noam Dar's corner.
Mm-hmm.
So this has like been brewing a little bit. They did it under the wire. She got on-air TV time being crazy Alicia Fox, and bam, they fire some people. Some people go home, and hey, Captain Alicia Fox, show us what you can do.
No, I'm kind of happy for her. I mean, like she said, 12 years, she doesn't even have a freaking T-shirt. And girls have been there for 6 months, four or five. So,
she's the only African-American Divas champion of all time. So,
yeah. No, I love Alicia Fox. I love this batshit crazy persona. I would love to see her maybe pinned to... You know what? No, never mind. I hope Tamina's the first person eliminated.
It's God, a fucking joke that she's in this match.
She should not be. And if the mystery person is Lana, consider me not watching.
The only thing Tamina's good at is falling out of the ring terribly and tearing her ACL.
Well, I mean, not going to lie, according to Total Divas, which totally watch, Lana's not going to be wrestling anytime soon.
No,
but that was a while ago. So
that thing, oh my God, seeing her in the ring, I could have told you that.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Oof, this ain't Florida State's student section anymore.
Next up.
John, what's next?
The men's Survivor Series elimination.
All right, we talked a little bit about this with Steve Orlando on the Court of Nerds podcast this week. I kind of love these teams, and I kind of hate these teams.
I mean, well, you got four Hall of Famers, you got four NXT guys, you got the Monster Among Men, and then you got Shane. That's all I'm saying.
Shane McMahon, please go away.
I want to see Braun destroy Shane.
Like, if it was Braun, Kane, four NXT guys, four Hall of Famers, you could even throw Big Show in there, two massive men, four NXT guys, four Hall of Famers, you got yourself a hell of an elimination match.
On the episode of That's So Braven, that was just an illegal MP3 converter website reading script.
Oh, that was a good one. Yeah, that was my favorite.
I think that was 0.215
Sexual Gaelic robot.
I know there's no proof of this, but I predicted the Survivor Series teams before they were announced, and I said, Shield, Braun, and Joe, that would have been a hell of a team.
Ooh, yeah.
Versus New Day, Bobby Roode, and Nakamura.
So you were close-ish.
You're close.
I was close-ish.
Damn close.
That would have been sick, and yeah. I would have preferred the Shield and New Day to be used in that manner, but I'm pumped for this elimination match. You guys, that elimination match last year, do you remember how good that was?
Yeah,
it
well,
was good.
Here's what I'm telling you we're going to get. We're going to get Shinsuke and Bobby in the ring against Finn and Joe.
Yes.
We're going to see that as a four-man thing that happens. You're going to get Braun in the ring with Shane. You're going to get Kurt in the ring with Shane. And then you're going to get Cena and Triple H.
Yeah.
Don't forget about Randall.
Randall doesn't fucking matter. Randall needs a character change more than Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, that's maybe why he's grown his hair out.
Randy needs a young stable again. Like, he needs to, like...
Stable of hoes?
I mean, give him the Undisputed Era and have it be New Age Legacy. I don't know. But Randy needs to be a disgusting heel with young guys doing
and
his dirty
said
work.
It, Randy said it on podcast that he can't wait to turn heel again because he hates this whole babyface thing because he's naturally such a dick.
He is the most boring babyface ever, and that's why his first ever title run in 2005 didn't work because they tried pushing him as a babyface to Triple H's heel. No! Stop it! Stop it!
All right. Who's I want to know, who's the first out? Who's the first eliminated in this match? Because your gut, your
I hate
gut
to
tells
say
you,
it, but I think it's Bobby.
Your gut says it's an NXT guy.
I say Kurt Angle.
My head says my head says it's an NXT guy.
I don't say Kurt Angle because I predicted him to be the last guy pinned on our previous podcast. So I take that back.
takes it back.
Sorry,
we'll fix it in
carry
post.
On, Drew.
I think the shocking first man out, and you guys are gonna hate me for this, but I can see them doing this.
Braun.
First man out is Braun, Kane interference.
Yeah. I see it too.
I'll write that as my answer because I like that. I hate it, but I like
hate it.
Like, you hate it, but they'll do it.
Uh-huh.
What sucks is that Kane can't come through the mat at the beginning of the match because it still has to continue on, but that would have been something. If
get
just...
Braun away from Kane. God damn it.
Why are you doing this? Why?
Braun
why?
Needs, if Braun doesn't win the Royal Rumble, I'm going to be furious.
Right.
If he's on a fucking Royal Rumble card fighting Kane and not in the Rumble, like, I'm starting to get terrified.
The Kane-Braun thing is going to happen at one of the smaller pay-per-views.
I'm freaking out,
you
man.
You know it is.
Freaking out.
Whatever the fuck the December pay-per-view is, they're going to throw together.
What is the December pay-per-view?
I don't know. They're going to shit all over
us. Yeah, whatever. Though. Doesn't matter.
no.
But yeah, I say Team Raw wins. Shane pins Angle because everything sucks, and I think Jason Jordan turns on Daddy.
So wait a minute. You
SmackDown
wins.
I think SmackDown wins. That's what I meant. Shane pins Angle with Jason Jordan being a dick. I think that's the least likely of the run-ins, but I think that's the one they go with. First guy eliminated, though. Yeah, Braun. Something dumb's going to happen with Kane. They just refuse to give us full Braun.
By the way, there is not another Raw pay-per-view this year. There is Clash of Champions, which is a SmackDown card,
shit.
December 17th.
I was going to say, is that like 2 weeks after Survivor Series?
December 17th, so yeah.
Full month.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's out three weeks.
And then you've got NXT TakeOver Philly and the Royal Rumble, January 27th and 28th. So you're right. The next Raw card would be Royal Rumble.
Interesting.
Wolfalicious.
Oh, man, yeah.
All right. I think I called God, who did I call as last standing? Triple H or some shit? I don't even remember.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah,
it was you.
John said Triple H, yeah.
Triple pins his brother-in-law.
Trips pins Shane. I think Angle legitimately breaks Shane's ankle.
Angle
just to show Stephanie. And then Stephanie goes, "Oh my god, I didn't mean break his ankle. What a dick."
Those two have a violent history. King of Ring 2001, I believe it was.
Yeah. Yep.
Kurt was belly-to-belly suplexing Shane over his head. Go watch this on the WWE Network if you haven't. And he could not break the glass structure he was trying to belly-to-belly him through. He did it like 10 fucking times. It's one of the most brutal things I've ever seen in wrestling.
Yikes.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So there's that 5-on-5. It should be incredible. The amount of skill in this match is unreal.
Does this match go on last or does AJ Brock?
AJ Brock goes on last.
That's what I say, too.
AJ Brock goes on last. Not even a hesitation. AJ
just
Brock
because of Brock, though.
I'm a traditionalist, and I want that to go on last.
Yeah. All
right, Cue it up, John. What's next?
Next up, tag team, The Bar versus The Usos.
I love how you can't decide where to be on your microphone, and it's fucking killing me.
I've been right here the whole time.
No, when you yell, you have to back up.
I did back up.
You did. I'm going to fucking murder you. I'm going to show you these audio levels.
You guys,
later.
This is this. So that's so brave, and this needs to be more organized.
Eat dicks.
All right, I'll just talk like a robot, and it's The Bar versus The Usos.
Jusos.
That's actually much better. Thank you.
You can't say that.
No, you can't. What are you doing? I don't want to go back and edit this. What the fuck, man?
Anyway, Sheamus and Cesaro versus...
You're sounding like assholes. That's what's happening.
I didn't say it. Sheamus and Cesaro versus the Uso brothers, Jimmy and Jay. Right? Jimmy and Jay?
Yeah.
James
and
Jimmy? Yeah.
Those two guys.
Those guys.
The Penitentiary versus the bars that are in it. So, who do you think?
Well, considering that day one is H.
Day one is H.
Day one is H.
I actually think it's the Usos.
I think the Usos win this as well.
I think the bar wins this one.
Well, you're a big Sheamus Cesaro guy, though.
I am.
I'm kind of over it, though. Is that weird?
No, I'm all in on it still. I love that team. It gave Sheamus purpose, and it gave Cesaro a chance to wrestle.
Well, it's a main card, too, and a main event.
Long periods of time.
We can give Mick Foley all the... whatever on that one.
Mm-hmm. No, Sheamus and Cesaro, hell yeah. I love that team, and I think them and the Usos, that's a solid, old-school, beat-em-up tag team match. I hope the bar wins just to build off of that shield. You need to solidify a championship win with a solid win. They won it in sketchy fashion. We'll see what happens. Usos are rolling right now, though, so I wouldn't be surprised.
Right. I don't know if they'd want to keep the momentum for the Usos going more or if you need to build momentum for the bar. I don't know if you're going to have the shield continue to challenge the bar. Yeah.
No, I think you need to pull him away from that. But let me just say the point on Sheamus about him finding purpose. This is like Randy Orton finding purpose. And you being like, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah.
This makes sense. To me, that's what happened with Sheamus when he was teamed with Cesaro. You found something to do with a talented guy that fans just don't give a shit about by himself.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
All right, there we go. John,
next
what's
up,
next?
Mid-card champs, The Miz, Intercontinental Champion, versus Baron Corbin, United States Champion.
If it's not The Miz, I don't understand. I don't understand. It makes no sense if The Miz does not win. Interference from The Miztourage, interference from The Bar, interference from Sin Cara. This match has DQ ending written all over it.
Yes.
Neither guy needs to win or lose this match.
It doesn't do anything for either one of them.
If somebody won, I would say Baron Corbin, just because he's got two wins over AJ Styles this month. Maybe you try to keep forcing him, but I'm with Drew. DQ finish. Nobody gains anything by winning this match.
No, but I don't know who the DQ is, and maybe the DQ is an NXT call-up.
Who knows?
Who knows? I still think you could see the Undisputed Era get called up on Sunday.
If McIntyre loses his belt, watch out.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. All right.
I don't know. I'll pick Baron because he's been hitting that end of days quite well.
Well, he's been hitting it like it's an RKO out of fucking nowhere.
Seriously. No, that's what I was about to say.
A deep six he hit on Sin Cara last night was sick.
Out of nowhere, and it's dirty. He's going to knock Miz out with that.
It's a big, mean dude with two sweet moves.
Yeah.
It's like
that's about it, though.
Yeah, it would be my shit if he knew how to talk.
God.
All right, women's champs, Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair.
Jesus, this gives my pants tingles, and not for the gross sexual way, but for the incredible skill of these two women. And you know what?
Nah, it's the gross sexual way.
Well, I know for you. But like, props to WWE for putting this match on this card and not doing something cheesy like waiting for Starrcade so Ric Flair can be there for Charlotte. Yeah. Rick can be at any fucking match he pleases.
Rick showed up in Charlotte for Charlotte on SmackDown.
That
he was
made
there.
Way too much
sense. I almost teared up.
I teared up.
I was like, this is fantastic.
This afternoon at work,
yeah.
And I was like, I'm not crying. No. It's the onions on Jim's sandwich.
So real,
one of those legitimate wrestling moments where you're like, oh, nice, cool.
Yeah. Right. This isn't fake. This isn't bullshit. Like when Charlotte came back.
Well, it seemed like she really didn't notice. Sorry.
No, you're okay, dude.
Like, and she didn't really know that he was there. Like, that's what it seemed like.
Yeah, like they legitimately hit it from her.
Yeah.
Which I doubt. Yeah. They probably flew together. But
either way.
Yeah.
I think Charlotte beats the shit out of Alexa, but spread across 10 minutes so it doesn't come across as a squash, because I think we're about to get Charlotte rolling because she's got the belt again, and she's here to remind people that she is the best worker next to Asuka, next to Sasha in the women's industry.
But I think if you're going to do that, then who does Charlotte fight on SmackDown?
Got to give her Becky.
Yeah, it's got to be Becky. There's no one else. There's no one else.
That's got to be your feud from after the rematch at Clash of Champions through WrestleMania. Those two at WrestleMania, one-on-one. Don't just throw bodies in a five-woman match.
Right. Don't just stop doing that.
We got two belts.
That's... Two belts. Respect these women and their talent.
There is a wild card. Carmella.
Yeah.
She's got that money in the bank.
That's right. And she just keeps getting better, too.
Well, and no more Ellsworth holding her back.
Yeah. No. Yeah, they fired his ass.
Yeah, got his walking papers actually shortly before this podcast. So. Yep.
Did he? I didn't see that.
Yeah, he missed that. Been released,
yeah. Ellsworth has been released.
Real life released.
Real life
released. Real life released. Real life cut.
Hey, you know what? Good for him for finding a paycheck for a year.
Right? Yeah. I mean.
Well, it was over anyway.
Kudos, but it was done.
Carmella kicked him in the face after he lost to Becky Lynch. Game over. It was done.
Well, he shouldn't have fought Becky Lynch.
You know what's surprising is that that segment did great ratings, and I was reading reports that they were preparing to do more Ellsworth versus women matches because it did such well in the ratings. So that's, I literally didn't know about that. That's interesting.
No, now you know. Now you know.
There you go.
And next up, not a championship, not a champion versus champion, but best three out of three is for sure, Shield versus New Day.
God, that's amazing.
This is going to be one of the best matches of the night, if not the best match of the night, and it's so unpredictable. Who wins this?
I say Shield.
I say Shield too.
Just because they're trying to push him right now?
Yeah.
I mean, because Roman's over again. Like, everybody loves him.
He's already talking. You don't need to. He's talking.
Roman is way better on the mic.
Much better on the mic. They want to keep the Shield rolling. I think they want the Shield to set up to A, protect Kurt Angle from Stephanie. And I think they're going to try and I don't know, John, I know you watched it. Ben, did you ever get around to watching the table for three with the Shield?
Yeah, I did.
When they're talking about how they had no fucking clue what they were talking about in their promos, I think this time they want to redo it, but have it make sense.
Yeah.
Have the Hounds of Justice actually be fighting for justice. Like, be those guys who are the voice of the fans, or be those guys who are the voice against the authority. But actually do it this time. Actually, and let them keep running. Dude, run these guys together until they fucking retire. All three of them are better as the group.
Mm-hmm.
They are better as the group. Some guys are just better as a group. Not to say they're not good solo.
Yeah.
But Roman is relaxed with these guys because he knows it's not all on him. Seth is more carefree and energetic because he knows he doesn't have to carry a match for 30 minutes against whatever dumbass they're putting him against. And Dean can be full-on batshit crazy Dean, which is what we need. Him pantomiming that fucking sandwich at the table for three, just, I died.
Yeah.
I died of laughter. And I came back to life.
No, yeah.
I think it's the Shield as much as I love the New Day, but you know what I want? I don't want them to quit feuding when this is done.
No.
I want this to be New Day Usos, but now New Day Shield.
Mm-hmm.
And then bring up some of those three-man groups that you're preparing in NXT. Bring up Undisputed Era. Let them fight the Shield. Bring up Sanity and let them fight New Day. These three-on-three matches, and Ben, you can probably speak to this better than I can, are all about what's going on in ROH.
Oh my! Some of the best things that they allowed the Shield to do were near the end of the Shield's original run, Shield versus Wyatt's, Bray, Luke, and Eric Rowan to close out a pay per view. Shield versus Evolution, Shield versus Batista, Triple H, and Randy Orton. That match was fucking crazy.
Yeah, I've gone back and watched all of those. They're incredible.
Oh, I just the Shield together, and this is going to be a hot take: is the best thing for Roman is the worst thing for Seth. Because I think Seth is hands down AJ Styles level single performer, best at what he does in the industry. And
you can singles push.
You can, but not for a bit. You got to have focus on the Shield for a little bit. It's got to be on the core for a bit. And Seth's been kind of not involved in the singles picture since.
Oh, the Kingslayer thing?
Since he lost the belt to KO when Triple H came out of nowhere and pedigreed people.
Yeah.
I that's my only concern. Dean, this helps Dean because he's allowed to be loose. This helps Roman because people are forced to like him again and he has to change his character a little bit. This is just a really cool match that the timeline, we shouldn't be getting this match because the timelines just missed each other, but we're getting it. And it doesn't feel like it's forced because they're both still things.
They're both still really good. I explained this to someone the other day. I mean, the most dominant faction from what, Ben, 2012 to 2014?
Yeah.
Is now facing the most dominant faction from 2014 to now.
Exactly.
This is an incredible, this is, as again, please check out the podcast we did with Steve Orlando at thecourtofnerds.com. This is a WrestleMania caliber match that we're getting at Survivor Series because Vince is freaking out about ratings.
I know, and this is a great card without this match, and that's when it starts to worry me that you're just piling shit on top of shit. When you watch 4.5 hours of great wrestling, you're tired that last half hour, whether it's been great or terrible.
Yeah.
It's just...
matter of fact.
Being tired.
Oversaturation. Yep.
Being tired, though, and then having, last but not least, Brock versus AJ.
Oh, my God.
Before we get deep into this...
Because that's going to require some talking.
Can we talk about how good Paul Heyman is for a few minutes?
God, best in the business.
Not even a hesitation. If I'm
Daniel Bryan's pretty good, too, though.
He was good.
That was great. That was great.
It was great.
It was great.
But I wish he would have done a little more. I wish he would have been a little cheesier because Heyman delves into that campy territory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what he does. And point F5. I really wanted Daniel Bryan, and I think it was a missed opportunity, to say, I only need one point. P1.
Uh-huh.
That's it. That should have been the drop the mic, walk out.
Mm-hmm.
AJ didn't need to talk. I thought not having AJ talk was almost better.
I skipped it.
Yeah. Anyways, great stuff from Heyman. The proposal mid-promo and Heyman ripping it apart was so on brand. It was perfect.
He's perfect.
And people who think that shit was scripted, that's just Paul Heyman being the best there is. Hands down, as somebody who works a mic every day for a living, I want to grow up and be Paul Heyman but with better hair.
Remember when he had a ponytail?
God, I said with better hair,
didn't I? Yeah.
That's what we were talking about, that Seagal bowling ball with the ponytail. Sorry.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Under siege.
Ben, I want to give you the floor here. Talk about the significance of AJ Brock on a larger scale than just being a match that we all have ridiculous raging boners for.
This is a match that I would have never thought would happen if you asked me in 2005 through 2016. Even with AJ coming back to WWE, it just didn't seem like something they were never close to each other. AJ Styles was the TNA poster boy, whatever they fucking call themselves now. It's changed 4 times in the last month. TNA's homegrown talent, and Brock Lesnar was pretty much leaving WWE when AJ was coming up. He was doing the NFL, then he did the UFC, then he started to come back in 2012 for big fights. This is crazy. These are the guys that Brock Lesnar shows, like, he grabs this opportunity and just, oh, that's why you're in this position. Go back and watch that SummerSlam match Brock Lesnar had with CM Punk. He just works well with these guys that fly off the ropes and hit you from every angle, that doing flips and shit, because Brock can catch you. Brock is underrated as a safe performer. People think he just goes out there and hurts guys. Yeah, he beat the shit out of Randy Orton that one time.
Well, yeah, he UFC elbowed him in the face.
Yes. But I want people to not only give AJ all the credit for what this match is going to be, and I think this match is going to be absolutely amazing, but I want to see how Brock works in this match. He has not been put in there with a guy of this speed or skill in quite a long time, and that's nothing against Braun, that's nothing against Samoa Joe's, but those guys are heavy hitters.
Yeah, Joe has maybe half the speed of AJ.
Yeah.
And a third of the endurance, if that.
Mm-hmm.
AJ is going to try and take this match long. Do you think, and again, a lot of the rumors that I've read are Brock doesn't like to plan matches in advance. Brock likes to just go out there and let it happen.
From what I've heard just over the years, he's like that when it comes to matches like with Samoa Joe and stuff like that. If it's 10 to 15 minutes, Brock's going to say, we got this. It's fine. But that match with The Undertaker at WrestleMania, they said that they were planning that months in advance, every single step of it, stuff like that. This is a match, short notice. Who knows how long WWE's been planning it? I'm speechless when I think about AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar at a Survivor Series. This is like, it's hard to say. This is like... Vince Carter versus Dominique Wilkins in a dunk contest, like eras that didn't match up, promotions that didn't match up, stuff like that. This is wild. This shouldn't be happening, but it is, and props to WWE for changing it so close. I mean, we had Jinder and Brock promos going for 3 weeks already.
Yeah, but I think and I think Drew can attest to this, is Paul Heyman didn't want that match.
No, it didn't make sense. Nobody was excited for Brock.
Nobody was
Jinder.
Excited.
Well, it's not even that nobody was excited.
Big, no, it is that because the big guys are. It's just it's no fun. Like Braun and Brock, it was cool for a little bit, but it was like 7-8 minutes long.
Exactly.
And then you F5 Braun Strowman one time and it's over. Like, get the fuck out of here.
AJ Styles is gonna make Brock Lesnar look like the 29-year-old world killer that he once was.
Yes.
Well, hang on, because John, I understand your point of that nobody wanted to see it. Paul Heyman doesn't give a shit what people want to see. Paul Heyman gives a shit about the safety of Brock Lesnar, who is his meal ticket. So Jinder is, and Ben, stop me if I'm wrong, he has been one of the botchiest wrestlers, especially in main events and spotlights. Every main event he's done, that Colossus is sloppy as shit.
Besides when he was giving it to AJ Styles. Holy shit, he hit that.
Right, but when he has to give it to someone even close to the same size as him, he can't lift them.
Randy Orton. Every time he pinned Randy Orton, it was like, what the fuck was that?
Those are all fake inflated muscles. There's no strength there.
No, I agree with you there.
That's the thing. I think Heyman was concerned more about Lesnar's safety than he was about the actual quality of the match. Because if it was Jinder, they could have gone out and done a fucking squash match, have Brock end him, prove that it's a fake champion, have Brock throw the Singh brothers 50 feet in the air, and watch them die.
Great,
that would have been really cool.
I would have been looking forward to that. But now we get A, legitimately great match, and B, one that Paul Heyman can be 98% sure his client is going to walk away from unscathed on a larger scale. He's only got so much time left in the WWE before Brock goes back to take that UFC money. I think that's a guarantee. I think that's happening.
I only want to see Brock in matches like this. The Samoa Joes, the Finn Balors, the AJ Styles. Send Brock out on top. This guy is a lot better than people give him credit for. And when he is given somebody like AJ Styles, Brock will make AJ look just as good as AJ makes Brock look. Brock, oh my God. Brock and the Big Show know how to sell those little guy punches,
yep,
gaining steam to knock him down. I mean, people are going to be talking about this match for a while, and I hope that it steals the... Not that it should ever be able to steal the show, but with this card, I hope it... People, at the end of the night... I hope it's a great show. The card delivers, but this should be the match head and shoulders above everything else because this is arguably the best in the world at what he does versus the biggest name at what he does.
Well, there we go. Anything else you guys want to hit on before we just stop talking?
I think it pushes the envelope for Finn to regain his Universal Championship because you're going to have a little guy, and not saying AJ's little, but
AJ's little.
Mm-hmm. And as the same size almost as Finn. And if AJ can beat Brock Lesnar, which I think he does at this show, it definitely pushes the Finn beating him, makes it more believable in my eyes.
Yeah.
If that were to happen.
I'm done picking against Brock, unless it's at WrestleMania, just because I thought Joe was going to beat him for some reason. I thought Braun was going to beat him for some reason. But, yeah, I'm just excited. Survivor Series. It's a historic show. It's been going on Thanksgiving era since the late 80s. It used to be in Detroit all the time, so there's a Michigan connection to it around here. It's like the Cotton Bowl of wrestling shows. It's big, but not the biggest deal. But expect the unexpected at these shows. Returns, surprises. Watch out for young guys going over. I mean, we might be shocked in that main event. Watch Bobby Roode be the sole survivor. Don't forget that 2 years ago, like Steve Orlando said on our Court of Nerds podcast, which you guys should check out, thecourtofnerds.com, that Dolph Ziggler was the sole survivor 2 years ago. He pinned John Cena.
Yeah.
Or no, he pinned Seth Rollins.
But yeah, he went over, and that was his way to get over. You need Bobby Roode to go over, and maybe a cheap shot in being the sole survivor is the way you turn Bobby to be the heel he's supposed to be. Or this is how you finally redeem Nakamura. Let him go all the way up and Kinshasa Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
And knock him down with one hit.
Watch out for KO and Sammy.
Watch out for Paige.
Watch out for Paige. Watch out for Jason Jordan. Watch out for Jinder.
Yeah. The Jinder might hinder.
You know how you make Jinder a bigger heel? Have him interfere in the AJ Brock match and ruin it.
Mm-hmm. However, I want to bring back something you said earlier. After a championship win, you need another win to solidify that championship, which is why I'm actually going to pick AJ to win that main event.
I'm rolling with Brock still.
I don't think it hurts Brock's momentum to lose to AJ. And I think it opens the door, like John said, for a Finn Balor to come in on Raw the next night.
I agree.
And go, hey, I'm an Irish motherfucker. Yeah. I got to fight you right now.
I'm going to predict the ending. AJ goes up for the 450 splash off the ropes, and Brock catches him in an F5. Bam. Lights out. One F5. That match is over.
I wouldn't disagree with you. I think he hits the F5. It's over. But if he hits the F5 and then someone interferes, AJ wins.
God, this could be the coolest F5 ever because AJ makes Jinder's finishing move look cool.